1 Samuel 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish some day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." I want you to place yourself in David's sandals for just a minute. You were told as a teenager that you're going to be the next king of Israel. Samuel, the old prophet of God, comes and anoints you for that office. The next thing you know, you're in the royal palace playing and singing for the king. Then, like a whirlwind, one activity after another took place in your life that brought you to national prominence. You killed Goliath with a single stone throw from your slingshot. You're promoted in the army, made the captain over 1,000 men. You married the king's daughter, and you were best friends with the king's son. It seemed that every event in your life was bringing you ever closer to the day when you would step up and claim the throne of the land as your own. Then things began to happen. Cracks began to appear in the perfectly constructed life that you had enjoyed so much. You fell out of favor with the king, and he even tried to kill you. Your relationship with your wife comes to an end. You can no longer fellowship with Jonathan, the king's son, who was your best friend. You're demoted. You lost your position in the army. The next thing you know, you're a fugitive, running for your very life from a jealous king who's determined to take your life. Yet, even as you run from your enemy, you continue to carry yourself well. You spare his life when the opportunity to kill him is virtually handed to you, speaking of when he could have killed King Saul. You show compassion when dealing with others that you could have destroyed. You even continue to seek God's direction for your life, believing that someday his promises for your life will all be fulfilled. Then one day, something changes. You awake as usual, but somehow the world is different today. For the first time, it looks like God may have forgotten all about you. It looks like your enemies will eventually prevail. You become discouraged, disillusioned, find yourself trapped in the pit of hopelessness. And while you're in that state of despair, you make a foolish decision that alters the course of your life, brings you troubles that you could have never imagined, and leaves you broken spiritually. That, in a nutshell, is the life of David up to this point. David was on the fast track to the kingdom. Now he's a fugitive on the run. Our text finds David hunted, hounded, and haunted. He's defeated, discouraged, depressed. And while he's in that condition, he makes a foolish decision that will produce some very serious consequences in his life. David decided to give up on God's plan for his life. Have you ever found yourself in that situation, brothers and sisters? He decided that somehow God must have forgotten about him. He decided that God's plan for his life had failed. David took his own life in his own hands and began to live for himself as he wanted to live. Have you been there? Maybe you're in that place right now. As I think about this time in the life of David, I see in him a portrait of many believers that I've met over the years, including myself. David pictures people who have been saved by the grace of God and who began their walk with God very well. But somehow, somewhere along the way, things didn't go as they had envisioned, and they became defeated, disillusioned, and discouraged. And in their weakened spiritual condition, they made a terrible decision that had terrible consequences in their lives. And instead of staying close to the Lord and following His will for their lives, they chose to walk away from God and live lives of carnality and fleshly indulgence and compromise. They made a tragic decision and they paid a high price. We're going to begin a few studies here of David. When smart people make foolish decisions and choices, what was the reason for David's decision? David's pictured as having a conversation with himself. A conversation with himself. Notice how the text starts. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. Notice. And David said in his heart. David said in his heart. He's having a conversation with himself. Instead of turning to God in prayer as he had done so often, David turns to himself for counsel. The advice he receives from himself is anything but wise. When David communed with his heart, he immediately forgot all of the great promises which the Lord had made to him. God had promised David that he would be king. That promise had been confirmed by Jonathan, by Abigail, and even by Saul himself. Yet all of these great promises are forgotten when David begins to listen to his own heart. David even thinks that he knows what will happen out there in the future. He should have known that God is a sovereign God who is in total control of all things, past, present, and future. That's what happens when we start to commune with our heart, start listening to our heart. We forget what the scripture says. David had forgot Psalm 135, verse 6, which tells us this. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does. In heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of His treasuries. It is the Lord who is in charge. But David chose to listen to his heart. Brothers and sisters, don't listen to your heart. It will deceive you. Listen to what the scripture says. Because David listened to his heart, he chose to abandon the path of life that God had placed for him. He decided that he'd be better off fleeing to the land of the Philistines, where he thought he'd be safe from King Saul. Imagine, the future king of Israel, he's running to the arch enemies of God to beg them for help. That's the kind of trouble David's heart got him into. As I said, beware of trusting your own heart. When we consult the heart, we will get in touch with our human nature. This body of death, this old human nature is fallen, and it always looks at things from an earthly level. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 20, one, it tells us of the works of the flesh, all the different sins that come up out of the flesh. Why in the world would you want to listen to your heart? When people say, well, I feel it in my heart, they're usually headed for trouble. That's why the Bible cautions us against trusting the heart. Over and over and over, it talks about the heart, about it being desperately wicked. Granted, as a child of God, we get a new heart. but we still have remnants of the Adamic nature, this body of death. Some have called it the sin nature. And the heart, you listen to the heart, you listen and you start reasoning things out, as opposed to what does the scripture say, what does the Bible say. When you talk to yourself, be sure to talk to yourself about the things of God. Don't let your heart talk to you. Let yourself think and dwell on the things of God. What says God, not what says your heart. You don't go along with your heart, you go along with what God says. God says in Ephesians 5:19-20. Speak into one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, speak into one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One another in psalms. What saith the scripture? Now what saith your heart? Philippians 4:8 tells us this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Now, all those things that I just mentioned, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, where is that coming from? It's coming from the scripture. It's not coming from your heart. When somebody says to you, just listen to what your heart's telling you, they've given you advice that can lead you to spiritual shipwreck and ruin, if you are foolish enough to follow it. Just listen to what your heart is telling you is the worst advice you can possibly get. It's not what your heart is telling you, what God Almighty is telling you through the scripture. See, your heart will tell you things like this. The church is dead. These people don't like you. God's being unfair to you. You'd be better off if you stayed home. If you went somewhere else, the preacher is mean. If you're really missing out, there's nothing wrong with living it up every now and then. God doesn't even care about you. If he did, these things would not be happening to you. Just once won't hurt. Just a little won't matter. And these are the kind of things that the heart will tell you. The scripture says to now do not forsake the fellowship of yourselves with one another. Do not forsake fellowshipping together, gathering together. And people make all kind of excuses. Why they don't come to church? Why they don't fellowship? Why they don't pray? Why they don't read? Why they don't forgive? Why they don't love? And on and on and on. And all of the excuses come up out of the heart. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Your heart will trick you, deceive you, lie to you, and lead you down the wrong path of life. You're yoked up with an unbeliever. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together. And you're yoked up with a believer. But I'll lead him to the Lord. Oh, I'll lead her to the Lord. That's what your heart will tell you. And the scripture says, do not be unequally yoked together. Don't commit sexual immorality. You're shacked up with somebody, you're living with somebody out of wedlock, or you're not even living with them, you're just sexually promiscuous. Scripture says about fornicators, about sexual immorality. You're violent in this relationship, that relationship, you're lying, stealing, cheating. Just go down the list. The Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor that way. Matter of fact, even love your enemies. And we come up with every kind of excuse. And where does that come from? The same place that David's advice came from the heart. From the heart. And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. he said in his heart. David made wrong decisions because he listened to his heart and it led him astray. Be very careful, brothers and sisters. Listen to your heart. Because if you listen to your heart, you might wind up in the same place David did. In a cave, hiding out. Basically looking for the rocks to fall on him, to hide him. Don't listen to your heart. I can't tell you any plainer. I can't tell myself in any plainer language. David said it in his heart. Bill cannot say in his heart. My heart may deceive me. But Bill can say, well, the Bible says. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do. The moment by moment, live by faith. Faith what? Faith where? Faith in ourselves? No. Faith in God Almighty and what he has said in his word. May we be followers of the word, not followers of our heart. And if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, the first thing you need to know is what the Bible says about sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There's the bad news. The wages of sin is death, but the good news, the gospel is, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you never come to Christ for salvation, the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Come to Christ today. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.